Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson, here to bring you today's midday interview. I have two friends in the studio who are also really gifted in the theatrical realm. Steve Vernon is the artistic director of Big Dog Productions, and Melissa Stanley is the director of their upcoming play. They're going to be telling us all about It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. This is by Joe Landry, and we'll hear all about how that connects to Frank Capra's famous film. So first of all, Steve and Melissa, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Was there ever a radio play version of It's a Wonderful Life, or did Joe Landry just get this idea from seeing the film?
The genesis of it is fairly interesting. If you do your research on the film, it did not do very well. It's not very well received when it was released. And because of that, the producers never bothered to get any sort of rights or royalties agreement. So the reason that It's a Wonderful Life became so well known is television stations didn't have to pay to show it. So it started getting shown every year, and of course it became a tradition, and people fell in love with it after being exposed to it year after year after year. And what Landry did is he realized, wow, I can adapt this. I don't have to pay any rights. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, he just took the script and adapted it to a what if it were done on the radio. And if I recall from his notes, the reason was a friend of his who was a teacher asked him to adapt it for a youth production, something different. But the funny thing is he took this thing that you don't have to pay royalties for, and now you have to pay him royalties to do it.
Good job, Joe.
Exactly.
Okay. I just saw on television the other night the Saturday Night Live version of...
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God. It's like, you call this A Wonderful Life. It's right. Like, it was just hysterical. Yeah. But I look forward to seeing this one. I understand there are just 5 cast members. And, of course, there's a great many people in the film. So, Melissa, why don't you talk to us about how this radio play is set up? Are they all standing in front of a big old-fashioned microphone? How's it look?
So we do have 5 cast members. They're set as actors from the 40s. So everybody has a radio personality character. And all of our actors are playing multiple roles. We have one actor who's playing 14, one who's playing 11,
wow.
And they trickle down from there. We have them set in groupings. We have a single actor in the middle and then 2 on each wing. All of our actors are also doing their sound effects. In some cases, they're doing sound effects for other actors who may be speaking at the time. But they will be creating their own, walking in snow using cornflakes, crack of the ice using celery. We have a table full of props and props around the table.
Oh, my goodness.
It's done in the tradition of Foley artists,
yes.
Which, you know, if people that remember radio, sound effects were created not through taped sound or anything like that. You had people who were trained to create certain sound effects using everyday items. For example, like War of the Worlds, they used an empty toilet bowl and a piece of metal to get the sound of the flying saucers. That's how they did
goodness.
It on the radio.
Yeah.
So it's really neat to see how Melissa's had the actors approach making the Foley sound effects. And it's nice for the audience to be able to see the sound effects being created.
Exactly.
It's fun, too, during some of them, to just close your eyes and imagine listening instead of seeing.
I've had some experience in radio plays. We did a lot of them here at WHQR a long time ago, and one of the stories was the famous ghost story about the young man that was buried alive in the churchyard at St. James Parish. And in order to do the scene where they're out there at midnight and it's raining and they're digging and digging to dig him up and see if he is alive, and you have to dig and dig, and then you hit the coffin lid, we had a big pan of kitty litter, you know, and really with a microphone
sure.
right in the
right.
And then when we hit the bottom of the kitty litter pan, it sounded like we hit the
exactly.
coffin lid.
Right, right.
I also used to do radio plays way back when in Kansas City. I was part of an organization that went into VA hospitals and did plays with the patients. It's called the VHRTG, or the Veterans Hospital Radio and Television Guild.
Oh, excellent.
That was started in World War II. They also call it the Bedside Network. And we would go in there with a director, an actress, and a sound effects and recording person. We would get a bunch of people. We always worked on the mental ward in Kansas City. A bunch of guys come down the hall from the mental ward, sit in a conference room, and we pull out a bunch of scripts, mostly MASH and Green Acres and things like that. Have the guys read a little bit, see who is not on too many meds and see if they can focus enough to read. Cast the show, rehearse the show, tape the show with full sound effects and play it back to them all in 2 hours.
Oh, that's wow. excellent.
What and then it's broadcast, thing. Rebroadcast later. In the bedside didn't work because every VA hospital has its own right. internal radio station. I'm sorry I got off on that, but it was fascinating because the sound effects thing, we had to do one Beverly Hillbilly script with Ellie jumping in the pool.
Sure.
And we got a big old metal wastebasket and filled it partly full of water and threw various things in it to try to get the right sound.
With It's a Wonderful Life, there's a, you know.
That's right, there was a splash.
Yeah, Harry falling through the ice and into the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Clarence.
That's right, George. Clarence and George, yeah.
There's a couple splashes.
Well, I got off on a tangent there, but I think the idea of doing this as a radio play is a fascinating idea. Does the person who plays George Bailey, who's the main character, the protagonist, is that one actor all the time?
That is one actor all the time.
Does he do anything else?
He has a couple sound effects he does have to do. He is only George, but he's George as a boy, George as a teenager, George as a young man, and George in his present day. So,
and that's Kevin Wilson. Mm-hmm. He's doing a fantastic job.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I love him on stage. Wonderful. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Steve Vernon, Artistic Director of Big Dog Productions, and Melissa Stanley, who was directing the current production, which opens tonight. It's A Wonderful Life, a live radio play, Joe Landry's adaptation of the beloved film by Frank Capra. It runs tonight through Sunday, so it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 3. The theater is at 613 Castle Street in Wilmington. We'll give you information on how to get tickets at the end of the interview. What else can we talk about with this particular show?
Well, the other actors, Charles Aughton, who plays Mr. Potter, as well as the
Radio announcer.
The radio announcer host of Females Are Fabulous. Mark Baskill.
Yes.
Who's doing a tremendous job. And
we have Katie Sawhill, and she is playing the majority of the female characters.
Of course.
Amanda Young is playing Mary Bailey, and she plays Mary from a young girl to an adult, as well as having another part or so in some of the radio jingles that are included in the play.
Oh, that's right. There had to be commercials, right?
Right.
Oh, how fun. Sound effects created live, radio commercials created right there in front of us.
Exactly.
How wonderful. Now, the set doesn't change at all. It's the microphones and the actors, and they're right there.
Right. Yeah, okay. The set is static, but it's Ron Hassan, who's acting as a technical director for the show, has done a very good job of creating a nice atmosphere. It's a little different than what people, you know, might be used to seeing, but it's a very nice atmosphere, definitely.
And you figure the challenge around this show is to create something that's visually stimulating, as well as audio stimulating. The studio audience for a radio play, we are looking at our current audience to be that radio studio audience. So we expect response. Our actors, we have worked with the idea that they are creating a show using their voices for people who are not there, as well as creating a show for the people that are sitting right in front of them.
And it's a different kind of acting when it's only your voice.
It is.
We've all done some voice acting, I know. But then this is both. They're doing their voice acting, but they're also in front of a live audience.
Sure, and there's some nice moments where they kind of winkingly let the studio audience know, hey, we're aware of you, and you know, but things that the radio audience wouldn't get to see or be aware of. So it's two shows in one.
And kind of like the fourth wall is missing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got the applause signs and the on-air signs.
Oh,
and everything,
I love it. So. Is there any stage manager running around making things happen? Of course.
Of course there is.
That's great. The show runs tonight through Sunday, Thursday through Sunday for 3 weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 3 at 613 Castle Street in Wilmington. The phone number to call for tickets is 910-367-5237. If you want more information about the show, you can go to the website bigdogproductions.org, and it's Big Dog, D-A-W-G, Big Dog Productions. And we just have a minute left. Steve, can you give us a little quick summary of what's coming up in your new season?
Oh, yes. We're very happy about our new season. Very excited about it. I don't have exact dates, but doing Harvey, which is fairly well-known and just recently ran on Broadway, about the 6-foot-tall Invisible Rabbit, which is going to be a hard part to cast.
The pooka. Pookas are hard to come by.
Yes, they are. Mornings at 7. a fairly new show called The Contemporary Guide to an American Marriage, circa 1959. It's a story of two couples. You have an offstage narrator throughout the show. It's like a science film strip from the 50s. Night Mother, which is our drama for the season, right, deals with some fairly heavy themes. Tartuffe by Molière is a classical piece. And then we're ending our season with a play that I'm very excited that we're bringing in. It's called In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play, which is about the use of vibrators in the late 1800s to cure women of hysteria.
There was a film about that recently.
Yes, there was.
Yes, but, and there's a play.
The theme of our season is family and the stresses on families from either internal or external forces. And all the shows throughout the season have that as a theme, whether they be comedies, dramas, or dramedies, although I prefer to call dramedies commas.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much for having us.
Steve Vernon, Artistic Director of Big Dog Productions, and Melissa Stanley directing the current show, a 1940s Radio Players production of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. Thank you both.
Thank you. I could just say, tonight is Pay What You Can, with a minimum of $5. You can't reserve a seat, but if you want to show up, you only have $5, you can see the show.
That's pretty cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is WHQR.